Joining me now are the gurus of how-to, Alvin and Lawrence Hugh Bell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. They visit us regularly on the show to talk about various important matters and also to take your calls. Our number here is 212-433-9692. You can write to us on our show page at WNYC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where handle is at Leonard Lopate. And, you know, reading the newspapers recently the story of Flint, Michigan, reminded me that we've talked a lot about lead pipes over the years when you've come to visit us.
Yes, we have, because New York has a lot of lead water supply mains connecting the main water to the houses. And I find this still on.
Should I assume that my house has lead pipes? It's an 1890s house?
Well, most of the houses don't have lead distribution pipes, but the service main, which connects the city main to the house and usually where the water meter is, that could be made of lead. My house in Staten Island had a lead water main up until about 2 years after I owned it. I was, and you figure you're a home inspector, why wouldn't you know that? And in my particular case, my water main connection was outside the foundation in the dirt, so I couldn't even see it. What came through the foundation wall was a copper pipe, and I made that assumption.
But we don't suffer from lead poisoning.
No, because there's an interesting thing that happens is that when pipes are being used, the water that goes through the pipes deposits a biological coating over all the pipes, the lead, whether it's iron, whether it's lead, copper with lead solder, or even PEX piping, which is cross-linked polyethylene. It coats the inside of the pipe with this biological film, and it actually protects us from the pipes. But what happened in Flint, and I was wondering when I've heard all these stories, why is this water causing this problem? And they say it's very corrosive. Well, why is it so corrosive? Is it a natural occurring event, or is it something that is in that water? And I found out that it's because of the intense salting of the roads, the chloride from the calcium chloride salt is inundating the rivers, and in particular case, the Flint River. And it's somewhere in the neighborhood 15 to 20 times more than than the EPA level chloride in the water, and this is very corrosive, and this strips off all that biological coating and exposes the pipe to the water, and therefore the lead is now exposed. The iron that has the lead embedded in it from the water mains everything's exposed. Now, I'm also thinking about this. I said, well, you know, they can really solve the problem because people are not trusting the pipes in their houses anymore. That ship left. And I understand these feelings. I mean, when your kids get poisoned, and I looked at some of the Google pictures of what houses look like in Flint, and it seems to me that for a very low amount of money, considering that they could replace every service main and every house plumbing system in Flint with non-metallic material, they could put a water main. It takes about a day to put a water main in, and for a team to come in and put in PEX piping for hot and cold water. And PEX is not a cheap material. They use it for all kinds of housing now. And they could put these PEX piping in and replumb the entire buildings, these one- and two-story buildings. Probably a crew could be in there in 2 days and have the whole thing replumbed.
The big problem is that they were trying to save money in the first place, and you're talking about spending money.
Well, I'm talking about spending money, but the problem is that these people are, I mean, the people living out of water bottles. I mean, I heard a story on NPR the other day how a woman knows to make spaghetti how many bottles of water she needs. I mean, that's absurd. I mean, and the damage has already been done. And they just did a test the other day. The Rachel Maddow Show does great reporting on this about that they just did a test. And the EPA limit is 15 parts per billion. They just did a test, and this is a year and a half after they've stopped using the Flint River, and it's still at 150 parts per billion. That's 10 times. They're not going to fix this problem, but I'm saying is that if there's a political desire to do it, they can get a crew can do a house in a day to 2 days, and they would solve the problem. And Alvin, it's just upsetting to listen to what's going on there.
Alvin, I was told some years ago that one of the ways to deal with the lead pipes that are likely taking water into my house is to run cold water until it gets cold, and then all the lead that might be in the water that's been sitting there will have run off.
Well, that's true, but most of the time the water is always running through a pipe. There's always some leak in a building. So the water is running through that water main anyway. And the water in the city of New York, thank goodness, is one of the second best water system in the United States.
Baltimore.
But that what you were saying is actually true, that that studies show that lead oxide starts to build up in a water main when the water has been stagnant for 5 hours or more. So if you live in a multiple dwelling, the waters never stop flowing. People get up in the middle of the night, they flush the toilet, and then that clock, every time you flush the toilet, every time you run a sink, that clock starts again. But if you live in a single-family dwelling and you have a lead water main, if you know the house, the water hasn't run for 5 hours, if you're using that water for cooking or drinking, let it run for 5 hours. But if your first thing you do in the morning is take a shower, then you've already cleared out all that lead oxide water. And at 5 hours, that's traces. We're not talking about this 15 parts per billion level. We're talking way lower than that.
Yes, and also the biggest problem with the lead coming into the water mains is really from some of the fittings, you know, like the faucet or the valve body that was made, some may have been made in some European or Asian country where they used lead for part of the chrome plating that comes out of that piping system. So that's where you have to run the water for a little while in order to bring up some to dissolve whatever lead may be in the water. But in the city of New York, mostly the lead poisoning for children comes from lead paint of where children crawl around the floor and they touch the floor that has lead flakes of paint on it, and then they put their fingers in their mouths.
Or they bite the windowsill.
The windowsills.
That's correct.
Those are the main things. The city of New York has I am so proud of being a citizen of the state of New York to have the foresight to bring water over 100 miles away to feed the city of New York. This is what makes New York one of the great states of the United States.
And I'm Leonard Lopate with the gurus of How To, Al and Larry Ubell. This is WMIC, WMIC.org. We'll be taking your calls at 212-433-9692 in just a moment. We also invite you to write to us on our show page at WMIC.org or on Facebook or Twitter, where handle is at Leonard Lopate. But before we get to the calls, we want to invite more calls because we have a quiz which was so tough that nobody got it last month.
Almost like Jeopardy.
So we're going to do it once again.
Yes.
And then if they don't get it this time, retire it?
We're retiring it. You know.
So who? All right, Lawrence, you can read.
What is the name given to a holding device that has teeth on either one or two sides, comes in multiple sizes, shapes, that connects wood boards or broken bones? Oh. So they use this type of device for sometimes holding bones together during surgeries, and they leave them in place, and then they take them out later on, or they just leave them in place altogether.
You could also do this with wood board.
Wood boards also. I just like the bone visualization better, but that's just me. And I wanted to say one last thing about the PEX installation is that PEX is a fraction of the cost of copper.
But then you wind up with plastic. Is plastic any better?
Yeah, this plastic is actually better than copper because it actually insulates and holds the heat in or holds the cold in of the pipes, and it's a good material.
And there's also one thing, Lawrence brought it to my attention, that in freezing weather, that PEX pipe can expand
five times horizontally and 10 times lengthwise. So if the house has a frost problem, the pipes won't rupture all over the place.
Now, speaking of water, this coming Monday, we will have the president of Riverkeeper on our show to discuss the recent leak of radioactive water in Indian Point.
Yes.
Because water is a problem everywhere.
That's a little bit beyond my capacity.
Yeah.
But it's something you might want to listen to because it affects us all.
Yes.
And Kathleen from Jersey City, you're on the air.
Hi, Kathleen. Oh, what's up?
Hi there. Thank you so much. I have a simple question for you guys. I know you know radiators. I have a radiator. It's not steam. It's the other kind.
Hot water.
Hot water. Thank you. And half of it is emitting heat and the other half is cold. Do I have to bleed? Can I just bleed that radiator individually, or I have to do the whole house?
Can I ask you, is it the end of the radiator that is not getting hot, or is it the lower section that is hot and the upper section is cold?
It's the side that it's away from the turn, the circular knob.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you have an air bleeder valve on that radiator and you could open it up just slightly, maybe you could take out the air that's inside that radiator so you can get full circulation.
So the question is, do you have to bleed that one or all of them? Well, you start with that one and see if the air comes out. And if the other radiators have the same problem, you should bleed those also. But for all people who own hot water systems, radiators do need to be bled at the beginning of every season, because over the summer when you're not using it, sometimes it feeds some more water in, some of the air, you know, finds the high points of it, and you have to bleed the radiators on a regular basis. And when I mean regular,
sounds like
once
old-time medicine.
Well,
you got to bleed the patient.
Yeah.
No, not quite.
But in this case, instead of using little worms, you use a little wrench.
Thank you for calling us, Kathleen. Doug from Mayapec, you're on the air.
Hi, Doug.
Hello, good day, guys.
What's
Listen,
up?
An apartment house. That I have, and someone's told me my cartridge in the faucet is busted that controls the diverting of the hot cold water,
mm-hmm.
and that I'm affecting the other apartments on the same floor.
That could be, because what's happening is you're getting what they call a cross connection between your hot and cold water.
So my cartridge controls the whole floor.
No. It's not controlling the floor, but what it's allowing is either hot water to migrate to the cold water side, which all the cold water pipes and all the hot water pipes are all connected together. So your cold water pipe is connected to the apartment next to you and above you and below you, and so with the hot water. So if there's an actual connection, it's kind of like when you have two separate faucets, you've seen people actually put a pipe together and with a hose and then have it come out. Well, if they leave the valves open but close the valve that connects the two, the water will circulate from left to right, from hot to cold, left to right, hot to cold, and you will affect the rest of the building. Yes.
And the cartridge, would it cost more than $100 to replace?
That I don't know, because it depends on the brand. If it's, you know, a Moen, it could be very
I just replaced the thing a year and a half ago, the whole sink top. Mm-hmm. And I paid $300-$400. They're telling me it's a $300-$400 price tag to get fix the whole thing.
Well, because it's sometimes in a difficult place, and there are also
actually, I'm not even going to comment on why it costs a lot. I mean, there are things out there that are ridiculous that cost, like for instance, airbags. Why are we spending so much money for airbags? And the ones, they don't even work. They're killing us anyway. So why something costs a lot, I'm not going to comment on that.
And earlier today,
that guy Scarello? What's he charging for a drug?
We talked about that at the beginning of today's show.
Okay, so, you know, what it costs is, you know, has to be determined. Maybe just put in a less expensive valve set. But the situation is, can you be affecting the rest of the building? Absolutely.
Now, a bunch of people have been calling in with answers to the question, what's the name given to a holding device that has teeth on either one or two sides, comes in multiple sizes and shapes that connects wood board or broken bones? And let's go through some of them.
Yes.
Maybe one of them has got the right
answer. Let's
see
if we have a good answer.
And from Elmhurst, what do you think?
I think it's a staple gun.
I like your answer, but it's not correct. But I got to tell you, electric staple guns are the best.
Ron from Lindbrook, what do you think?
How do you learn it? I think it's an articulator.
An articulator. No. I love the way that sounds, but no, sorry.
Okay, Chuck from Buchanan.
Yes, hi.
What do you think it is?
I think it's either corrugated nail or corrugated staple.
No, I mean, that's kind of like in the right ballpark, but this is more of a temporary clamp. So it's not a permanent installation.
It's a piece of hardware.
Yeah, it's a piece of hardware. It's more of a tool than it is a nail.
Yes.
But I love corrugated nails, too.
Yes.
Tracy from Highland Park, New Jersey.
It's a screw.
No. But nice.
All of these ideas sound interesting.
Yes.
Okay, well, let's take another call from Heather. This is not an answer to the quiz. Those were all wrong.
Yeah.
So we still have hopes that somebody will get it right.
Yes.
Heather from Morris County, what do you want to talk about?
Hi. Hi. I am looking into purchasing an older home that was built in 1958. And I know the home will be inspected before we purchase it, but specific things that I should be looking for to make sure. I have younger children, and I want to make sure that they are not exposed to lead or, you know, asbestos, things like that. So specific things that I should be looking for, well, the water main, obviously the paint.
Well, I'm going to ask you the thing about, and where is this building going to be, in New York, or is it going to be in?
It's in New Jersey.
In
the suburb of New Jersey.
You know, the New York City law, lead paint law, it makes the assumption that all buildings built before 1960 are assumed to have lead paint. And in the rest of the country, that would be 1978 when they outlawed the sale of lead paint, not the use of lead paint. So lead paint could have gone into buildings well into the 80s, because what the corporate responsible people of the time did is they slashed the prices of all lead paint in 1977. So they sold them all out, and so contractors went, "Wee, cheap paint, let's use it." So it went in pretty much into the 80s as far as we're concerned. So could you have lead paint? Yeah, but I have to say that once your kid stops crawling around, you kind of age out of the hazard. And the other big delineator is actually housekeeping. Keeping your floors clean and your carpets clean, and that is a big determining factor on lead, high lead levels in children's in blood. And so that has to be a part of it also. Unfortunately, a lot of the children who do suffer from extreme lead poisoning are living in substandard housing, and you know, the ceilings crack and fall down. I can't imagine that's the way you're going to keep your house. Other big thing to look for as far as those contaminations are concerned is, do the doors open and close freely? Those are what we call friction hazards. And then there are impact hazards like baseboards and step treads. And the last one are chewable surfaces, like Leonard mentioned earlier, is like a kid will lean over on a windowsill and gnaw on it during teething. And so those are the issues that you have to look at. As far as other things, lead water main, but also possible asbestos-containing material, whether it has 9x9 floor tile or whether it has pipe wrapping around the heating pipes, or it even in forced air systems, the sound attenuator or sound isolator between the heating system and the ductwork has a ring of asbestos around it. And that
Heather, you got a lot
but those
of.
But I got to tell you. But I got to tell you. On the other hand, I live in a house. I live in a house from 1933, and I have to tell you, I love it. It's a great house. It's adorable. I love living. We're working on it constantly. It's just like, it's New York. It's never going to get done. But it's wonderful to own an old house, because there are styles in it and things you get with an old house that to get in a new house, you have to pay an arm and a leg.
But there's also another level.
Wait, hold on. I want to hear what you had to say. What were you going to say?
Those are the things that we're looking for, those character, the character of the older home. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, I'm, you know, is it going to be safe for my children? You know, that's the question.
Well, I was just going to say one last thing, is that with newer houses, there's issues of over-sealing the house, mold problems, stucco problems. So there are other problems.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that the evidence of children getting lead, high lead levels in their blood has to do with also nourishment. Those families that, unfortunately, that don't have the funds in order to feed their children nourishing food, they are more susceptible to high lead levels.
Okay,
we're going to take a little break.
Yes.
Okay, we'll take a little break. We'll come back with more calls, more attempts to answer this very tough quiz, which is, what is the name given to a holding device that has teeth on either one or two sides, comes in multiple sizes and shapes, that connects wood board or broken bones? This is WNYC, WNYC.org. Stay with us for more. And we are back with the gurus of how-to, Al and Larry Ubell, also known as Accurate Building Inspectors of Brooklyn, New York. And we got lots of calls coming in, lots of different difficult questions to be dealt with. Dan from Washington Heights, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just had a quick question about the recent brown water we had in Washington Heights about 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
We were told that it was a problem with an emergency shutdown at the George Washington bus terminal, mm-hmm. and that it would clear up within an hour. This was a neighborhood full of people rushing to grocery stores to buy bottled water, and it took maybe a day and a half to clear up, and it was kind of oily and a lot of sediment. Is there any residual danger, and what was the oily sediment that was in that?
Well, the interesting thing is every time you move, every time they open or close a valve, it disturbs all the sediment that's at the bottom of the pipes. You have to understand that when water goes through the pipes, not all the water moves through the pipe. Actually, the outer water lubricates the water for the center of the pipe. So when you actually move a valve, it happens in my house too. I mean, there are many valves in all our homes that are isolation valves, and they're never closed. They're always open. But if you need to shut down the bathroom or you need to shut down the kitchen, you turn this valve. I have to tell you, if you don't turn that valve on and off regularly, and then you do turn it off and turn it back on again, the water out of that feed is going to be discolored. And that happens all the time. So that oily feel to it is probably mostly just all the sediment at the bottom. This happens in my neighborhood also. All of a sudden, you know, you flush the toilet and all of a sudden there's brown water coming out of the toilet. The biggest problem is obviously in the water heaters where the water, all the stuff, sediments happen. So when that does happen, it's a good time to now clean out the bottom of the water heater, which, by the way, be careful when you do it because the water's hot. Okay, I said the disclaimer. But it's not uncommon. It happens all the time, and it's not dangerous. And once the water is clear, you put in a glass and you hold it up to the light and that sediment has gone away, the water is safe.
Yeah, I have the same problem if they clean the water tanks on the roof or something. I live in a high-rise construction project, and I live on the 20th floor. So the water tank up on the top of the roof has to be cleaned every so often. And every time they touch that, I get dirty water.
Yeah, so it's not – and that happens a lot in neighborhoods.
Nancy in Staten Island, hi. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, fellow Islander.
Yes, I live on St. Mark's Place. It's a landmark street.
Uh-huh.
Most of the homes are – you know,
yep.
1884, in
yep.
that range. The School Construction Authority was just here this morning mm-hmm. putting in monitors because we have a major project like 100 feet away, just directly across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
The school is making a gymnasium, so they're moving earth. There's like two big backhoes, and since you've been talking, mm-hmm. five or six or seven, there's a parade of these massive trucks and oil trucks that are coming through. I'm concerned about the pipes on our fragile street that are feeding our house. Like, I know in the Times article they said everything was okay as long as it's not disturbed. Well, everything is getting shaken, and that's why they're putting in monitors. Sometimes it feels like, you know, an earthquake at times. So should we be concerned about the pipes coming into our home and them causing more lead to be...
I'm not as concerned about that. What I am concerned, especially considering your proximity to the construction project, is actually the condition of your home generally. And it would be in you and your neighbor's best interest at this point in time to start taking photographs of the entire building inside and out, all the rooms, all the ceilings, all the corners, everything. So in case something goes wrong and there is a soil subsidence of some sort or settlement or shifting, that you have photographs of what your home looked like before this happened. Because if you do want to – if something does happen and you need to litigate – they're going to say, well, how do I know it didn't look like this before? And you can say it didn't. Well, that's your word against theirs. But if you have photographs, dated photographs, you take a picture of a newspaper with it and all of the other issues, even the front of your cell phone, you take a picture of that and it shows the date of the picture, then that will be a great thing to do. As far as the water main shifting on the outside, I mean, I had a water main break in my house, the lead one that we were talking about. I had a break because when I put a sewer in, the soil shifted and it dragged the water main with it, and it caused it to crack. If the water main on the outside of the building cracks, that would only, and if it is a lead water main, that wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, because then that would be impetus to change it to copper. And by all means, that would also go in the neighborhood of having to litigate. But I think that the lead water mains should be removed and replaced with copper regardless.
Let's go to Joanne from Rockaway. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. We want to paint the outside of our house. And as you know, our area takes a tremendous amount of beating from the salt water. So one of our neighbors painted his house with something called Rhino Shield, which is a ceramic product.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what you think of that versus regular good quality paint.
I know what the stuff is. They use it for decks. That's what it was designed for. It has kind of a texture to it, if correct?
Well, this is a stucco house, so I guess the texture would be fine.
Yeah, as far as that is concerned, I mean, I'm not a big fan of painting stucco in the first place because it really wasn't designed to be painted, especially if it's old-style stucco, not as opposed to the new-style stucco, which I don't really care what you do with it.
This is old stucco.
So it really wasn't designed to be painted in the first place. I have to say that when the problem with stucco and painting stucco is moisture from inside the building is always trying to get out, so it does peel off the paint. You probably have that problem right now, is the paint is peeling off the stucco.
But also, she's in an area that where there's an awful lot of water hitting that stucco. Is there anything she can do to protect it?
Well, it doesn't really need to be protected from the wind and the water hitting it, because that's kind of how it's designed. It's designed to absorb some of the water, and then when it stops, it evaporates it back out. I'm just concerned about that material that he used, which has a very thick application, is that when it does start to fall apart, it's probably going to look worse than yours does now. I would just go with whatever exterior grade paint you were using.
Okay, thank you, Joanne.
Well, thanks a lot.
Yeah, there's a thing that people have to understand. We live in a seacoast town where there is salt in the air constantly. And the way the atmosphere works in the city of New York, it corrodes and deteriorates almost everything that we have. So the application of some sort of coating on the outside of a building, it should be durable type. It should be something like alkyd paint or say epoxy paints or things like that that have more durability and greater longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take another call, and then we'll go to some of the people who have answers for the quiz. Renee from Brooklyn.
Oh, yes, let's do that. We got to get it.
Hi, Renee.
But first, Renee.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Hi, how are you? Thank you for taking my call.
What's up?
Quick question. I have a leak. It's kind of a weird phenomenon because when it rains, it doesn't come through, but after it snows and I guess it starts to melt, then I get a little leak coming from my skylight. And I tried a caulking before, and that's not working. So I was wondering if you could recommend something?
Yeah, I'm thinking that if it doesn't happen when it rains, but it happens when it snows, that your skylight is too close to what they do now. Well, going back, when they build a skylight now, they actually, instead of putting the skylight right at the roof level, they build it up on 2x6s to lift it 6 inches off the roof surface. That way, when it snows, the snow is not piled right up against the skylight. I think that caulking is not the issue. The problem is that the snow gets above the skylight, and it's getting underneath all the flashings, and it's leaking in.
And sometimes the skylight will have a ventilator on it.
Right.
That if the snow gets piled up, it actually goes higher than the ventilator.
That could happen, too. What I recommend is I'm going to give my email address, LarryUbell@gmail.com, and if you take a picture of it, if you can get a picture of it, send it to me, and I'll give you an opinion.
Okay, thanks for calling.
You need the spelling of your last name, and I'm good.
U-B-E-L-L.
Got it. Thanks so much.
And we have a lot of people who've written in with possible answers to the quiz, including somebody who tweeted us. Stephen on Twitter thinks the answer is a splint.
No.
Okay. Francois from Tom's River, New Jersey. What do you think it is?
I would say it's a pin.
No, but good guess.
Now, that's Francois with a French name. Now we have Yvette.
Yvette.
From East Brunswick, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I think it's a vise grip.
A vise grip? No.
No, that's a device with the Peterson Manufacturing Company.
No.
I used to work for them.
Yes.
So you know it's not the answer.
Yeah.
Steve from Monroe Township in New Jersey.
Steve?
Hello. Is it a forceps?
No.
Okay. Foster from Riverdale.
All right. Is it a serrated reduction clamp?
No.
John from Jersey City.
John? Hello, John?
Hey. Oh, John, yeah. Wait, I have to put you on hold for a second because John has a question.
Yeah.
Fred from New Jersey?
Yes, Fred?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, you hear me?
Yes.
Mender or mending plate?
No, but that's really close.
Kyla, is it, from Washington Heights?
Hi.
I think it's an alligator clamp.
No,
that's something. Oh. An alligator clamp is something that goes at the end of a wire to connect two terminals together.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to retire this one.
I guess we're going to retire this one.
You want to give the answer?
Yes.
Lawrence, you want to take it?
It's called a claw plate. A claw plate.
And it looks like a claw.
It does look like a claw. Yeah.
Yes, and it comes in all different types of shapes, and it has points that in order to dig into what it is going to hold together so it doesn't move.
Okay.
Now we have very little time, but yes. I want to sneak John in here. John, you have to make it very quick.
What's up, John?
All right. Hey, I recently had my windows replaced in Jersey City, and we found interior window shutters.
Right.
The kinds that slide up on the tracks. They are in great condition. They're 100 years old, but the tracks have been painted over so many times that I have to strip all the paint off of them. We did a lead paint test. They have lead paint.
Of course.
Should I get rid of these moldings and replicate them? I'm very handy. Or should I take them off and have them professionally paint stripped and put back on? Who knows what that
well,
would cost
as far
to
as,
even get that done.
Well, as far as, you know, stripping the paint, if you're stripping the paint chemically and you're wearing gloves, the lead contamination to you is not a problem. If you're using a lead paint gun to heat it up and peel it off, then I'm very concerned because then you will actually get lead fumes in the air. So if you're going to strip it chemically, I don't have a problem. If you're doing it with paint, I do have a problem. I mean, with a heat gun, I do have a problem. Okay?
I got it. Thanks, guys.
No problem.
And that is a concern for a lot of people, not just lead, but asbestos in some of the older buildings.
Asbestos is a big problem if you decide to remove it yourself.
Now, we have run out of time, but you invite listeners
to
write to you.
And I forgive me if I don't get to you. That means I've gotten busy doing other things. But they can email me at larryubell@gmail.com. That's UBELL. Larry spelled the traditional way. And you
want them to include a phone number.
Include
so
a phone number so I can do a little personal radio show for you.
That's very good.
And if you couldn't get through today, well, the gurus will be back in a couple of months.
Yes.
And what will happen at that time?
We'll go forth and fix, save energy, money, and
do it extremely safely.